Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing Your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, worship His holy name. Worship Your holy name. You're rich in love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul, worship Your holy name. Bless You, Lord.
I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God.
And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Your holy name, Jesus.
Seated. Thank you, team. Now, last week, we talked about the tabernacle, but it was also Communion Sunday, so that's like half my time. And so I split the sermon into two. First part was last week during Communion. This part, we went a little long here in our worship and beginning the service, and so I'm going to finish up the second half right now with a sermon entitled, The Adulterous Woman and You. There's one more aspect of the tabernacle I wanted to focus on before we move on in our study. So let's go back to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in their things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sin. And in verse 4, and no man takes this honor to himself, but he was called by God, just as Aaron was. And we have gone in depth of the high priest's role, and Aaron being the first high priest called from God, from the tribe of Levi. And that God brought Aaron and his sons to be the priests, and they were to go into the tabernacle, and we talked about the tabernacle, the whole tent complex, and how this tabernacle always pointed to something much greater than what the people saw. This tabernacle was the blueprint for the first temple built by Solomon, and later the second temple that was built, and eventually the third temple that'll be rebuilt. This tabernacle, though, this tent complex that started the whole thing out, was always pointing to Jesus Christ. As you entered the wall, the tent structure around was just a cloth wall, basically, around the tabernacle. But as you entered into it, you first came to the altar of sacrifice. When we're first coming to the Lord, we're going to hear about Jesus being crucified. His death is what makes the gospel possible. The gospel, the next thing after the altar of sacrifice, that red square is the blue circle, which was the wash basin. It was a water where the priest had some ritual washing of themselves. And that represented the Word of God, as we are washed by the water of the Word. To come to Christ, first Jesus had to die. He had to make the gospel possible. But then a person must hear the Word of God, the gospel, the washing of the water by the Word. And the Holy Spirit is in this part, bringing the sinner to Christ and letting them hear the gospel, convicting them of their sin, of the judgment, and the righteousness of God. And in that process, God, they're given a free gift. A faith. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. There's this moment the sinner is brought to that they understand through the gospel they're a sinner, they're separated from God, and they need a Savior. They understand who Jesus is, God in human flesh, who is the perfect Lamb of God, who died on the cross and resurrected 3 days later, defeating sin and death and bringing hope with the gospel. And all who put their faith in him will be saved, born again. There's this moment the Holy Spirit brings the sinner to where they can either accept or reject. They've entered the tabernacle complex, but they have not yet entered into the holy place. The only way into the Holy of Holies. And that holy place is Jesus himself. And we must be found in him. So the sinner must make a decision to turn to the Lord and call out in repentance and in faith. And whoever calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, Lord, owner, master. Prodigal son, the prodigal daughter finally comes home. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whoever calls the name of the Lord will be saved. And when you do that, you enter into the holy place, the holy one, the only one who is holy, Jesus. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but through me. And through his death sacrifice, we know the veil that separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place was ripped in two from top to bottom. So that now all can come in. Now, do you understand, looking at this tabernacle, it's not Jesus plus your good works. It's not Jesus and his righteousness and yours added together. No, it's just his. It's not Jesus plus keeping the law. It's not Jesus plus going to a certain church or worshiping on certain days or taking this law or this law and adding it to your faith. It's not Jesus and your church attendance. It's not Jesus plus your church service. It's not Jesus and a sinner's prayer to water baptism done in ignorance. This whole tabernacle points to one and one thing only. Just Jesus and his sacrifice. That's why it begins with the sacrifice. The altar of sacrifice, the cross for us today, is just Jesus. It's just him and him alone. You must be found in that holy place. Be found in him. And the reason I am emphasizing this, and the question I have, maybe for you or maybe someone you know, have you truly entered into the holy place? Are you in Jesus Christ? For many are outside the tabernacle. But they know what's in the tabernacle. They know about what's in the tabernacle. They've heard the gospel. They've heard Jesus. They've heard the cross. But they're outside. Because it's just up here. It's not here. It's dead faith or demonic faith. But it's not the saving faith of Abraham that draws you into the tabernacle. It draws you to the Holy One to be found in him. Because that changes everything in life. And a lot of people want to have God and also their lives. And no, it's a surrender of your life to your Lord Jesus. And today we have a lot of false gospels out there. And so unfortunately, a lot of people who say they believe are actually spiritually outside of the tabernacle. That's why the Apostle Paul said this to a whole church. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. Some of your translations say, unless you fail the test. And this is not one of those sermons that make you doubt your salvation. No, it's not about that. Because when you're saved, you're in Christ. In this church, we've been very faithful to teach the Word of God. You know when you're a believer and when you're not. But if you're not sure, or if you know someone who's not, this is what they need to understand. Just because you think it up here or no, it doesn't mean it's here. Paul tells his church to test themselves to make sure they're in Christ. There's a whole book written about this subject. It's the Epistle of 1 John. You read the entire Epistle of 1 John. It's a test after test after test to look at the Scriptures as a mirror and say, do I line up to this? I say, I confess, I believe, but do I line up to what a believer is supposed to be? Because when the Holy Spirit comes in, we are a new creation in Him. And He starts to change us, and He starts to bring God's desires, His will into our life. Everything changes. Why is there a verse like this? Why is there a book called the Epistle of 1 John? Because there are many false converts today. there was in the beginning of the church, and there still is today. Let me take you back to Galatians 1. The Apostle Paul writes, I marvel that you are turning away. He's talking to the church there. I marvel that you're turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ. It's all about Jesus. To a different gospel. He says, which is not another, because there isn't another true gospel. There aren't many ways to God. There's only one way to God. And that is the biblical gospel of Jesus Christ. But he says, you're turning to a different gospel. You're going a different way. There's only one. If you go away from this one, you're going into a false one, because there's only one real gospel. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Folks, we see the fruit of this so much today. Perverted gospels. Why would someone want to pervert the gospel? They're led by Satan. They're after power. They're after controlling people. They're after wealth, influence, popularity. So you're going to say, you're going to make the gospel easy. People can, the gospel is about becoming rich and prosperous and healthy, and they're going to say what they need to say to tickle people's ears so people will give them money. They're not going to teach a real gospel of repentance, that you're a wretched sinner and you need a Savior. Others have been taught false gospels, and so they continue to teach it. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly betrayed among you as crucified? This only I have want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit born again by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now being made perfect by the flesh? You see, it begins with Jesus crucified. It's all about Jesus crucified. It has nothing to do with us, but we are sinners. That's it. That's all we bring to the picture, is our sin. It's Jesus crucified. It's not Jesus plus my somewhat good works that I have. It's not Jesus plus the rules I'm going to follow. It's Jesus crucified in us sinners. And the Holy Spirit testifies of the works of Jesus, not the law. And we have to accept it by faith. And then we are born again in the Spirit of God. That's how it works. We're not saved by our belief in Jesus plus our good works. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. These people believe in him, and they got great deeds to show, but they didn't know him. About being found in Christ, not knowing about Christ, not serving Christ, not keeping these rules that you think makes you good and acceptable to Him, is about being found in the holy place through His sacrifice, through the Word of God. Boom! In the holy place. Philippians chapter 3, yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. It's about receiving Christ and being found in Him. Not having my own righteousness, because we have none, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith. Faith in Him, not faith in Him plus the works I do, not in faith in Him and the works I'm going to do, the rules I'm going to keep. No, it's faith in Him, being born again in Him, Jesus alone. Let me show you something that represents this in the physical realm. John chapter 8. Now early in the morning he came again to the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. When the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, This woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses and the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? You notice she was caught in the act. It takes two to commit the act. You notice there's no man here. They didn't bring the man. Now, I've always speculated it was probably one of their own. Can't prove that. But they didn't bring the man. They're not seeking to really obey the law of Moses. They're testing Jesus. Because if he condemns her, right there, the pressure they're putting on him in public, if he condemns her and says, yes, stone her, then he just broke the law himself. Because the man's not there. They're both commanded to be stoned. It says, no, don't condemn her. Then they can charge that he doesn't keep the law of Moses, which did require those who commit adultery to be stoned. So they thought they had him. Verse 6. This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, he who is without any sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Verse 9. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. She was alone with Jesus. Jesus literally saved her physical life. Was she guilty as charged? Yeah. Yes, she was. Could she have offered up some good works to save her? I know I did this, but I've done this too over here. It's really good. No. I'm sure she had some good works in her life. Most people do. But her good works could not erase her guilt of adultery. You see, at this moment, there's no hope for her. In the hands of this crowd, these Pharisees, there's no hope. She's guilty. They got stones ready to kill her. There's no way out. She became unknowingly, completely dependent on Jesus to save her.
Thank you.
Each one of us. Each one of us. Is that adulterous woman? Everyone in the world is that adulterous woman. The sad fact is too many don't realize that. That's who we were. You know, in this situation there, no one was qualified to judge her according to the standard Jesus put forth. You without sin. No, so no one was there, was able to judge her. No one was able to fulfill the law of Moses at that point because of their sin. But, you know, Jesus could have. Jesus could have judged her. But what did Jesus say to her? Verse 10. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No, no one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." She had no hope. She was guilty as can be. And the law which shows no mercy. A judge may show mercy, but the law itself shows no mercy. The law demanded her death. For the wages of sin is death. But the perfect judge, the perfect high priest, who entered the tabernacle of the holies behind, into the presence behind the veil for us, he could show mercy. He could show grace. Because he fulfilled the law. The law that demanded her death, he was going to fulfill and he was going to pay for. The same law that demands our deaths. Why? Because that was the mission all along. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. I condemn you no more. Take my grace and go sin no more. He didn't send the world, Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Right now it's the time of grace, of salvation. If you'll just understand, you're that adulterous woman. You are guilty as charged, and you have no hope in saving yourself. The only thing you can do is fall at the feet of Christ to be found in Christ. He's the only one that can save you. And man wants to add all these religions. Well, every religion in the world is outside the tabernacle. It doesn't save you. And you can have false beliefs about Jesus and which church to go to and what rules you have to keep and what rules you don't have to keep. That's all outside the tabernacle. What's found inside the tabernacle are those who are humble enough to admit they're sinful and fall at the feet of Jesus Christ and be found in him. Through his sacrifice, his death, his life. It's only in him. For by grace you've been saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Grace is receiving what we don't deserve. We did not deserve Jesus to come and die for us, but he did. Because that was God, the Father's plan. And the Son always does what the Father wills, what pleases him. And Jesus, who is God in human flesh, came in our place, lived the life we couldn't, and died in our place to fulfill the law, to satisfy the justice of God and to show the love of God at the same time. We're saved by grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone. That's biblical Christianity. Not faith plus some works. Not faith plus what? Don't add anything to it. You're saved by faith alone. And the salvation is by God. And it's not that he ever says, "I will take it from you." You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, will God chastise His children? Yeah. But He'll never forsake you or leave you. And if you don't keep certain rules after salvation, it's not like He goes, well, you didn't do what I wanted you to do, so I'm done with you. I throw you away. No, none of that. It's just by faith. Stay in love with Christ. Don't get religious. Don't be foolish Galatians and add works to your faith. Just enjoy and appreciate and adore and worship Jesus for the sacrifice that He is. Whether the adulterous woman knew it at that moment, it was faith alone, grace alone, Christ alone, and Scripture alone that day. She was saved by grace. God's grace. Her sins were paid for by His death. She had the opportunity, and I hope she took it, to enter the tabernacle. Next slide, Levi. To enter that tabernacle. Let me ask you a question as we close. Come on up, team. We're almost done. Real quick this morning. Here's something you need to ask people that you may know. And it's pretty easy. One question. Well, a couple, but let me show you. Start with the first one. Ask somebody. Would you rather have freedom or slavery? Would you rather be free or a slave in this world? And no one's going to want to be a slave. Human slavery is terrible. God condemns it. And I know God, people say God supports slavery, and that's not true. But no one wants to be a slave. So if you say freedom or slavery, everyone's going to check freedom. I want freedom in this life. Okay, good. But see, the next question I'm going to ask you is going to determine if you have freedom or if you're a slave. Everybody wants freedom. The next question will determine if you'll actually get freedom. So here's the next question. Is your life about seeking the truth in this life or seeking happiness? You see, most people in this world are on a happiness quest. They want to be happy in life. So they're seeking and chasing everything that they think will make them happy. And they really don't care about the truth. Oh, they might be a little bit religious somewhat, but overall it's about them finding happiness in this life. So they're not seeking out truth. Because truth can be hard. Sometimes it's a hard pill to swallow. So most are chasing after happiness, not truth. But you see, freedom is only found in the truth. John 8:32, Jesus said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth, if you know it, Jesus being the truth, and His word is the truth, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I see most people are not seeking the truth. They're seeking happiness. So where they want freedom, they're going to end up in slavery. A slavery of sin and of their father, the devil. And they'll never know freedom. The tabernacle, that's where you want to be found. You want to be found in the holy place. And through Christ, we have access to the Father. It's only about Him. Only Him. His sacrifice. His life, His sacrifice, His death, His resurrection. That is it. That's biblical Christianity. Don't turn it into a religion. Don't add rules to it. The rules of the law was to teach us we're sinners. It was to teach us we need a Savior. It was our tutor, it was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. But once you come to Christ, you no longer need the rules, the law. because you'll walk in faith and you'll walk in sanctification and you'll walk in the fruit of the Spirit. That's love. And love fulfills the law. Because we'll love God with all our heart, soul, and mind by His grace and mercy. And we'll hopefully love our neighbor as ourselves. And all this, the law is fulfilled. It's not about rules. About appreciating and adoring Jesus Christ. Have you entered into the holy place? Have your loved ones entered into the holy place? It's all that matters. It's the most important thing in life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, Lord, I just thank you for your grace and your mercy, and I thank you for the simplicity of your scripture, of your gospel that all can understand. I ask, Lord, if there's anyone in here who does not know you, who has not entered the tabernacle, who has not entered into the holy place, that you'll reveal that to their heart. That they're not right with you because they're not found in Christ. They may know about him, but they don't know him. And Lord, if there's anyone that we're connected to that we can help share this, I ask you to give us those opportunities to share the truth. Lord, we praise you for your word and the beauty of the word and what it teaches us and how it all connects from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Lord, your word is amazing. And we just thank you and praise you. And we praise you for the gospel. We thank you for the gospel. We thank you for you. We thank you, Father, for sending Jesus. And Jesus, we thank you for living and dying for us. And we thank the Holy Spirit for convicting us and bringing us to the truth. Lord, we praise you. The God who is one, but the God who is also three. We praise you this morning. And we ask you to help us to go out this week and live for you. We pray this in the name above every name, in the name of Yahweh, of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, and then why don't you guys go ahead and stand up. We'll sing this last song. We're almost, we'll be out almost on time. Here we go. Good song. Get the music going.
Fall down to my knees with
There's a hammer in my head. You look at me, arms open. Forgiveness, forgiveness. Now there is freedom from holiness. Say goodbye to every sin. You are forgiven. I could have been 6 feet under. I could have been lost forever. Yeah, I should be in that fire. But now there's fire inside of me. Here I am, a dead man walking. No grave gonna hold God's people. All the weight of all our evil lifted away, forever free. Who could believe? Who could believe? Forgiven, you love me even when I don't deserve it. Forgiven, I'm forgiven. Jesus, your blood makes me innocent. So I will say goodbye to every sin. I am forgiven.
Amen? Amen. All right. Very good. Someone's excited back there. Who was that? John. It is. It's a beautiful thing we have. Beautiful thing you have. Treasure. Treasure what we have. That's why we have communion. Remember. It's a beautiful thing. Beautiful gift we have. Let's go take it out to somebody else this week. Don't put that gift and put it away. Take it out. Share it. All right, Team Jesus, let's break out of here on the count of four. Let's go be His church. Count of four. Count of three. I don't know where that came from. One, two, three. Break. Let's go.